It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice.
We are ourselves, that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for a thousand years, men will still say, this was their fight.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Escape of Cthulhu presents Actum Cthulhu, Assault on the Mountains of Madness by Jason Dural. Yeah, speaking of jokes. Somebody want to catch us up on where we are?
We are pretty much the same place we started last episode.
Yeah, we're in a room with doors.
But less people. Yeah, the brave, you know, and revered Popoff finally met his end via the horrible gray mist. But I guess we should talk about that. So we started last episode in the midst of the apparently five-sided room with strange angles and an indeterminate number of doors, and began exploring them kind of one by one. Popoff tried one of them that instead of having a gray mist or a white mist to walk into was kind of a light gray mist, and immediately was turned inside out. When we pulled him back into the room, he was unrecognizable. Poor guy. And so I think that deterred us from trying new rooms. We decided to go back and mess up the old rooms we had. So we went back in the room that had the bowling ball in it from before. And someone, I think McCarthy, touched the bowling ball, and the white mist color started growing from the middle of the ball. And most of us were able to successfully retreat out of that room and back into the main room. But a couple of us tripped, got tangled up with each other, I think, and wound up in the bottom of some ocean and had their bodies implode. So that's how another couple dropped. I think as we were busy arguing with each other in the middle of the room, we had some Germans, some Black Sun soldiers step out of one of the doors, and we took care of them hastily and then went over to the door they came out of, threw a grenade into it, and then charged the room, and it turned out we were in the middle of New York City. So that was more fun. We scooted back in and threw the German bodies back through the door, hoping that people would say, yeah, it must have been the Germans who did it. Again, more thinking. We figured out, Private Smith figured out that the key to understanding this room is to not use all your senses, to close your eyes. And by doing that and walking his way around the room, he was able to determine there are actually 18 doors. He did that a few times to verify it. So we know that we've been through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've identified 6 doors. Only 12 more to go. That should only have us here for 2 more sessions before we finally get through. But I think as we were about to continue looking through the rooms, we were visited by Obergruppenführer Fuchs, I think is how you say his name, the head Black Sun officer that we're aware of here. He strolled in from the outdoors, and you willingly, you know, got on his knees and did all the prisoner-type things while we interrogated him. He said, explained a little bit about what was going on. The woman, Greek, I guess, is her name. Another Black Sun officer has gone off so crazy, she's even crazy for Black Sun. And she seeks to rise as a Thoth, which turns out to actually be slumbering beneath the city that we are standing on. Old ones and the Black Sun after them were seeking to tap the body for energy, but she wants to wake him and kill us all. So he has offered to cooperate with us, at least to stop her. Did I miss anything, guys?
No, pretty much. That's it.
Sounds pretty good.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Well, but see, that's, I think, the major thing that the Black Sun, at least this guy's been trying to get across, is like, we're not the Nazis. Yes, we happen to be Nazis. Yes. But we'd give two shits about the Nazis, or anyone else for that matter. The Black Sun are here to you know, dominate the world. I think it's a little scarier.
Yeah.
I think I don't like the Black Sun even more. I think, God, to think that the Nachtwolf and the Nazis were the sane ones in that relationship.
Exactly. And then you take that there's a faction within the Black Sun that's even crazier than that. And you have, yeah, a real problem. Oh, there is a room with some bas-reliefs on there that somebody, not McCarthy, but whoever Randall's new character is, I'm sorry, I forgot his name, Randall, Private Taylor has taken a look at, and he may be able to figure out what's going on, maybe with Yon's help with his occult thing or whatever, what's going on the walls, but it looks like it may take a few hours.
Yeah, he's a physics student, so he knows some astronomy and some physics, and he was trying to figure it out because, if I'm not mistaken, the pyramids that we found pointing in that direction. Plus, we got the table from the doctor, and I'm pretty sure he left outside when he got into that room. I'm pretty sure of that.
The table?
Yeah, the table that he found, it's on, it was kind of in pieces. He assembled it, like a puzzle. Maybe.
Oh, the tablet, yes.
Tablet, yeah, sorry, the tablet. Maybe we can use it as a reference as well.
Well, didn't he wind up under the ocean in that one marble room?
Of course not. What are you saying? McCarthy did, the tablet didn't.
Oh, got you. Yes. That's right.
The other thing is, we also know a way out to New York, so that's good in case we need to rush into this room again and leave in a hurry and block the door behind us.
Right, yes. I'm most perplexed about that room as to why more people from New York are not coming through it. You know, we were able to retrace our steps, but how long is that door good for? You know?
Or it might be only good to people that have come through the door.
I almost want to send some guy through there to try to make a call to Washington, see if they could raise a National Guard or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's a public phone a lot closer than anywhere to us in Antarctica.
Exactly. We've been talking about trying to talk back to headquarters.
But Steve, do any of us have any change on us? I doubt it.
Probably, it would probably depend on how lucky you were.
Oh. Yeah. Well, wait.
So Max is not going.
I'm not as bad as you'd think. I'm still relatively not terrible at luck.
Well, didn't you just start a new character last session?
Yeah, but I went from... No, two sessions ago. I'm down from 55 to 30, so probably still not the best.
Yeah, we got one or two unused mooks who haven't tested their luck yet. I'm sure they have pockets full of change.
I believe there's one mook left, actually. Is that right? Yep, one left.
Five of us, because I'm still dragging around Caffey and Saint-Guillaume. So there's five plus the one mook plus the mooks.
Yep. And you're there in a room with some doors.
All right, let's get it on.
We've got 12 doors left.
That's true.
According to you, but by my accounts, we have more.
Well, it's a good thing we're not going by your accounts.
we're all counting different amount of doors, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? Well, we were. But, Smith, Max's character. Yeah. He was a genius. He came up with a great technique for actually determining the exact number. You want to tell him, Private Smith?
Yeah, so with your eyes closed, circumnavigating the room, you can feel a finite amount of 18 door handles. The rest of the doors, it may seem like there's more doors, but there's not. It's an illusion, Taylor.
Very, very smart. Up,
it's
very
that
smart.
Light, that light up there. I'll point to the white
glow. Should be the lieutenant.
Oh, God, no. Please don't do that. I don't want to make any more decisions. We just saw how the last decision that Guillaume made worked out.
Every decision that he's made.
Guillaume just killed the doctor, someone else, and a few poor people in New York, so.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I guess that's true. How bad could I be? Let's
grab a door.
We want to still go one at a time, or do we all want to open up, poke the head in, and see what happens?
No, because, I mean, what if we come across that Greek woman on the other side, then she's alerted.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. One at a time is probably best. So
we got to do it. Let me... all right.
Go ahead, Caffey.
Yeah, Caffey's going to step up. He'll close his eyes, standing at the last one we marked, run his hand along the wall to the next one, open them up, step bravely in.
Oh, now that's an interesting question. So while we're watching him, and he is going with his eyes closed, how many doors does he actually pass that we watch him pass, Jim?
He doesn't pass any. He just goes to the next door.
Interesting. Okay.
Wow. This room is so weird.
By the way, I think once you open the door, you don't have to keep your eyes closed.
Right, yeah. No, as soon as he grabs the doorknob, he opens his eyes. But
you never know. You may want to.
That's what I was about to say. He may want to close the whole thing.
But you open the door, and yeah, there's light.
Okay. Takes a deep gulp.
You step through.
Yep.
And you find yourself in a clearing, a very large, kind of very grassy, thick green grass clearing, very large clearing, surrounded by a thick forest. And in the center of the clearing, there are a handful of stones. And there are probably 100 people, humans, people, in some kind of primitive dress. It's kind of hard to tell what they're doing. Make a education roll.
That's 17. That's going to pass.
Very nice. They have some ropes and some sledges and some other things going on, and it's certainly not complete by any stretch, but there's enough of it that you recognize that you are looking at Stonehenge.
an incomplete Stonehenge being built.
Whoa. Wait, are we on the pass?
Okay. Well, Caffey's all by himself.
Yep.
Yep, he stepped through by himself. The question I have is the people that are working on Stonehenge right now, is that right?
That's what it looks like.
Did you say they look like they're in primitive garb?
Yep.
Okay. All right, that's very tempting, but he'll back up, back through the door the way he came.
Fair enough.
And
it's still open behind you. You walk through, close the door, tie on another ribbon.
Any other volunteers?
Spot hidden rolls, please.
Oh, God. Nope.
Nope.
Hold on. Please. One second here. Of course, I didn't have my tag ready.
Boom. 0-5.
90. So never mind.
Extreme.
Smith is going to save us again.
One of the doors that you have not, that is unmarked, pops open, and you see a sand roll.
Oh, huzzah.
Pass.
It's a pass.
Failure.
Nothing for the success, a D3 for the failure. As through the door... Three. Sorry, go ahead, Randall. You lost
2 points.
Three. Cool. As through the door zip two fairly small, they're maybe a foot tall, a foot and a half tall, vaguely humanoid in the sense that they have a body and two arms and two legs, but they also have wings and big kind of round red eyes and a long kind of mosquito-looking proboscis. These weird insect things zip into the room.
Well, who are these little guys?
And one of them dives straight for Mr. Smith.
Oh, God! Kill it with fire!
You may want to make a dodge roll, sir.
Yes. Certainly do. 84 is not going to cut it.
You may take 2 points of damage as its shockingly sharp wings slash your face. The other one dives at Mr. Wallace. You can make a dodge roll if you wish.
I do wish, but I do not pass.
Neither does it, so no worries. You're fine.
I'm sorry, Jim, just said 2 or 3 points.
I said 2. Mr. Smith.
I will... pull out my gun and try and shoot it.
Go right ahead.
That is a fail.
Mr. Wallace.
Swing and a miss.
I will also try to shoot at it. I will also fail.
Mr. Guillon.
Aha! He's going to pull out the that Degen sword thing that he pulled off of those Black Sun polar bear officers way in the back. Oh, man, he's only got a 17% chance to hit. But he's going to try to slice one in half. 88 will not do it.
Mr. Taylor.
I'll shoot the creature. For a 0-1.
Very nice. Damage.
Is it 1d10? So 0-1 is a full hit points, right?
Yep.
And another roll?
Yep.
So 1d10 plus 6. 16 points.
It explodes in a spray of ichor and insect parts. The other one looks a little testy at that. Mr. Caffey.
He's going to slash it with his knife. And we'll hit it for... Does it have a damage bonus? Yes. That's a knife. 24, so that's 1 plus 2 is 3, plus damage bonus is 4. So 4 damage.
You slice it neatly in half.
Shing!
As the pieces fall to the floor, you can make another sand roll.
Success.
Nope.
Twice. Success.
0 for the pass, a d6 for the failure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me just 1 second here.
I have a sneaking suspicion of what's going to happen.
You do?
Do you?
Oh, I hope they don't multiply.
I bet.
Oh,
you're,
no.
I bet you're wrong, but give me a second.
Oh, okay. Whew.
It's like in The Empire Strikes Back. We'll see Darth Vader's face inside.
Just for fun, because I don't, probably no one has seen these. This is what was just attacking you. Whoops, wrong folder. I apologize for the delay. Should have had these ready. I did not. There we go. As two more creatures walk into the room, these are... They look like women. If women were made out of ice and had long claw-like hands and big pointy teeth and didn't have legs but had just kind of a swirl of snow and ice underneath them, something like this. Mr. Smith.
Okay, so we have just now these two ice queens. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. I will pull out my rifle and shoot at them. It's a fail. Shot goes wild.
The first one slides into the room, flies shockingly quickly up to you, Mr. Smith, slashes at you with her long, dangerous, painful-looking claws. Would you care to make a dodge roll?
I would. Where are you? That's here. No, I think I'm going to fight back.
Fair enough.
with my meat hooks. Nope, that's a fail.
It definitely slices at you with its long talons, but apparently was distracted by your brave, manly attempts to fight back. Perhaps she was impressed, and she only rolls a 1 for her damage.
Oh, thank God. All right, well, I'm still alive for now.
The other one will fly towards Mr. Guillon. Flash her talons in your direction.
He'll try to dodge. That's 92. Not going to work. Dodge right into it.
Apparently you did, because she got a hard success and rolled a 6, so you may have 6 points of damage.
Oh, another leader down. That's 2 points under alive.
In a spray of blood. Mr. Wallace.
I guess I will take another shot at one of these. Nope. Not even... Actually, you know, I'm going to burn 10 to actually hit something.
Sounds like a reasonable idea.
It feels like we're reaching that point in the fun. For a 12 points of damage.
You can't take it with you. The bullet pings off her skin. It leaves a big crack, though. You suspect it probably didn't do as much. It didn't hurt her as much as you may have thought it would, but it definitely hurt her. Mr. Taylor,
didn't we have flame throwers with us when we came here?
We got pretty sure we didn't.
I will.
We kept the flamethrowers in the same bag. We kept the tablet in.
Before I do anything, I wanted to ask you, Jim, are they coming through the same door that the insects came through?
Yep. The door is still open.
And I will close it.
Okay. Fair enough. Mr. Caffey.
Caffey, just want to take a shot here.
Keon is dead. I can take it.
So that's going to be a hard success. Rifle.
Which one are you shooting?
The one, I guess, that opened up Guillaume.
Okay, makes sense.
And let me see, what is the...
Get a measure of revenge.
Okay, that's good. So that's 14.
You also crack that one open a little bit. You said 14?
Yes, sir.
A bit more than Mr. Wallace's or Mr. Taylor's shot did. But probably not to the tune of 14 hit points you expect. Mr. Smith.
I'll be, guess I'm just gonna start punching him. No, fail again.
The punching is fun. The creature will return the favor. If you want to dodge or fight back or...
On its turn, or is it going to fight back when I attack it?
No, it's not going to fight back when you attack it.
Okay. Then I will try and fight back. 96!
Oh, God! It gets a hard success, but apparently is still impressed with your bravery.
Warm that cold heart yet.
As it rolls a 3.
Oh, guys, I'm not looking good.
The other one,
good.
The other one
may not get face is, his face is bleeding. He's got slashes all across his chest. He's pretty moving pretty slow now.
The other one will turn to Mr. Caffey.
Oh no.
He is gonna dodge this thing. Let's see. Here's my dice. Yes, success. Normal success on the nose.
I'm afraid it got a hard success.
Ah.
But she too was impressed by Mr. Caffrey's bravery and strength of character and only rolled a 2 for damage.
Oof. What kind of shape is Caffrey in? Oh, he's doing pretty well.
You all hear a cry of pain as you see in your peripheral vision out of the corner of your eyes, Colonel Fuchs, who was kind of backing away from all of this, with a large blood stain spreading over his shirt. And then you see sticking out of the blood stain, square in the middle of his chest, is the point of a sword. And behind him, you see a shockingly attractive blonde woman wearing the uniform of a Black Sun officer.
Oh, God.
Mr. Wallace.
Yeah, I guess I am going to shoot the one I shot before in hopes of ending this immediate threat and hope that Fuchs' body can slow her down for a turn or two. But not with a 98.
Mr. Taylor.
I will drop a grenade at their feet. Just drop it. I'm not gonna throw it or anything. Just drop it and start running. Grenade!
Thanks, Randall.
Right near Smith.
Thanks, buddy.
I love that you just soften the blow. I'm gently dropping the grenade at your feet. It shouldn't hurt. It should hurt less because I'm putting it down gently.
Okay. So let's see. I believe they were engaged with Smith and Caffey, right? So,
oh, that's right.
Why don't the two of you make dodge rolls?
Oh yay!
Oh, I'm gonna make that with the 16.
Nope, can't even make it if I burn luck.
Okay.
That's hard.
Hard success. One of the creatures manages to slide out of the blast radius as well. Why don't you roll some damage there, Randall?
Let's see. Grenade damage. Was it 2d6?
4d6.
4d6. Very nice. Very nice. So... 18.
Okay, so one of the creatures blows up, as I'm pretty sure does Mr. Smith.
Yep.
Oh, damn it, Smith, I told you to get out of the way.
Yeah, that's your fault, Smith. That's on you.
Smith has surprisingly no response to any of your quips.
Fortunately, Max, there is one mook left. There you go. May as well just play him as Smith was for the moment.
All you need is a name, right?
Yep.
His name is going to be Tom Ebes Barker.
Barker. Mr. Barker. Let's see. That was
Barker.
Barker.
With a B.
That's important.
Every action
Mr. Caffey.
Take a few seconds before he throws another grenade at you. It's very important.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
What is the situation right now? I guess I dodged out of the aid. Yeah, yep. Do I have one of those things bearing down on me still? Or
Yes, you do.
Okay, we will continue combat. I'll try to blast her with my rifle again. Yes, normal success. Eight points this time. That is a bit of a hit.
It looks quite injured. As the bullet pings off it and another large crack appears in its chest. Mr. Barker.
Yeah, I will shoot this ice thing. Success for 9 damage.
Very nice. It cracks apart and falls to the ground. The lovely blonde woman in the Black Sun officer's uniform still has her sword through Fuchs's chest. She appears to be holding onto the sword with one hand and holding him up somehow with the other. And she turns, keeping him between her and you guys, and backs towards the door that you guys just opened. Thank you so much for finding my way out.
I throw a grenade at him.
Go right ahead.
I'll make that a success.
Okay, roll some damage.
Nine.
Very nice.
Don't lie, Jim. That was a terrible grenade damage roll.
Yes, possibly not the the best roll.
Okay, thank you.
Grenade roll ever, but at least there will still be something left of Mr. Fuchs to bury. Some larger pieces. As his body slides off the sword, and the very attractive blonde woman stumbles back a few steps at the detonation of the grenade, her back hitting the door. Mr. Wallace.
Shoot her!
Yes, I'll do that. I don't know who the commanding officer is anymore, but that's as good a command as anything. That will be a hit. Four, five, eight, 12 points of damage.
Oh, well, that was anticlimactic. She falls to the ground.
Well done, Wallace.
I will high-five Parker. I knew it! Grenades work very well!
I shake my head. I'm going to run up to her and make sure if she's still, like, barely alive or not.
I'll join him in searching the body.
Yeah, you will.
You can make spot hidden rolls.
Yes. Regular success.
Also regular success.
She's attractive. She's wearing the Black Sun officer's uniform. She has a sword, very similar to the one that Guillaume had. The only thing that's kind of a little bit unusual that you notice is the hilt of her sword is different than the one that Guillaume had, in that there is a blue crystal inset into the hilt. Would you all make listen rolls, please?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's handily made.
Nope.
I will pass at least and roll a hard success.
It's a fail for Kathy as well.
I got a hard success.
So with the especially with the hard success, you hear what sounds like a very distant probably very large, but very distant explosion. And then a moment later, there is a scream.
Like what kind
so
of scream?
Loud.
Oh.
Louder than Sorry. Anything you have ever heard. It pierces.
So even if we failed the listen rolls, we're good with this.
Oh, yeah. It pierces your very being. It's so loud, it hurts.
Cover my ears.
The walls of the room start shaking and starts to crack.
Run to the New York door.
And starts to fold and turn itself inside out. You guys, as the building is shaking and you're trying to find which color ribbon was the door, you can all make...
It was the red, white, and blue one!
Why don't you all make dex rolls?
Oh, no.
Oh, 0-5!
Succeed.
I pass.
Not that it's going to make much difference for long, but...
86. 86. Yeah, I'll burn the luck to make that.
Fair enough. You're all able to, as the building is shaking and crumbling and pieces of wall are coming down and doors are exploding inward and exploding outward and the white is falling and changing, and you make your way to the door with the red, white, and blue ribbon, the safety of New York City and America and home, and you rush through it, and you find yourselves on the streets of New York, and the people around you are screaming, and the ground is shaking, and the world starts to fold in on itself. You can all make sand rolls.
Pass.
Major.
It's pass, too, for Kathy. I don't like it, but it is.
I'm sorry, what was the roll? What was the roll?
Sanity.
Oh, 94. No. No.
So that's a D20 for the pass. And a D100 for the failure.
Ooh. So, Jim, could I get the quick description one more time? I was disposed.
The world is ending.
Okay.
Let's not say ending. Let's say changing.
Oh, 98 sand loss!
I lost 2.
So you made up my 100.
Together, we're complete.
I lost 33, so I'm completely insane.
As the as the world twists and folds in on itself and changes, and an elder god rises. An assault on the mountains of madness comes to an end.
And I, for one, welcome our new alien overlord. Wow. Well done, Jim.
Wow.
Whew.
So the I had end. The right door with Sonian, didn't I?
Wow.
Is that right?
I'm sorry?
When I found Sonians, that was actually Greek and all of her people.
Nope. Actually, it was not.
Oh.
Nope. Those were just poor innocent druids building Stonehenge.
Okay.
Going about their business.
Started going back to that. Yeah. When she started going back to that door, I was sure. I was like, "Yep. Yeah, well, blew it again."
I suppose that would have been the smartest thing. Would be to go back into time.
Yeah,
the world would have been destroyed, but we would have been back in the medieval England.
Can I? Yeah, it will be nice to try that now that I'm sane.
So well, was it just we ran out of
really,
time?
Really good.
Wow. Yeah.
Did we just run out of time to stop it?
Well, there isn't really a. I mean, in theory, you could say there was a ticking clock, but the clock was actually just you guys finding that door that led into the past, because that's what Grease wanted. Because that's what Grease was waiting for you to find.
Oh. Well, wait, if she wasn't in there, was she watching us? Was she observing us somehow?
Yep.
She was.
Well, wait,
she was in the room the whole time?
No, she was using her, one of her magical spells to see things at a distance.
So, so us opening the door to the past is what triggered the end of the world?
Not exactly.
Okay.
Sort of, but not exactly.
What did that do? What was our part by opening that door?
So Grease's plan was to wake the god under the mountain, but she didn't want to stick around for it. Her plan was to, wake the thing and get away, kind of exactly as you just suggested, to get away into the past. So she was waiting for you guys. So, once you guys were there and were searching the door, she was waiting for you to find the one that led into the past. She certainly didn't want to go do it. All those doors are dangerous. And you guys were more than willing to oblige the danger.
They never really understood how the door worked.
That is correct.
Smith is a genius. I told you he was a genius. Well done. So she actually found like a safe
door. Figure out the doors, Jim.
I'm sorry.
Was that the only way to figure out the doors, Jim?
It doesn't. It kind of doesn't really matter how many there are. Eventually, you would just find the one to the past if you keep looking long enough.
Yeah. So, did she find like a safe room in there? Is that where she was watching us? Like she found one of the doors?
No.
Or was she just not in that vault?
Yeah, she was. She was not even in the vault. She was just waiting outside.
Who the heck did we follow in the vault?
Well, she must have gone in at one point and then came out.
Tricky.
So is there any way that we could have stopped the end of the world, or is it pretty much predestined?
Nope, absolutely there is a way.
If we had read that room, stayed in there for a couple of hours and read the bas-reliefs?
Nope. This is the fun part. You guys had the way, like, I forget how many sessions ago.
Great.
Oh.
And then you left it to come here. Because the way that she was able to wake the thing under the mountain, in theory, I suppose, you could blow up all of the city engines and, whatever was left of the Elder Thing technology, keeping it asleep, or you could, what she figured out, was to blow up, that was the explosion you heard, the focus room, which Max and I think it was you, Steve, were trying to, but then Max was able to actually communicate and see the thing.
That's where
the key.
The tentacles on his head. Yep.
Yeah, that's where Lonnie fell apart. So, once you see the thing, what do you have to do then to
protect that building?
Oh. Which is totally anti to everything that we would be thinking as, like, people at war. Destroy everything that not built or anything they're going for.
Yep.
So did we misunderstand? Like, was that elder thing, was there actually logic to what it was telling us about those two buildings, or was that just us not understanding the way an alien race thinks?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was that.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, you know, from its perspective, you know, it wants to protect the city and protect kind of everything here. And if you're going to help do that, you know, here are the important things to go protect.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them you blow up partially, and the other one you use and then just ignore. So
what's the ideal route? The ideal route is Richter Station down to the cavern through the tunnels that the monsters were coming from.
Well, there really isn't an ideal route. You know, the way that the campaign is set up is actually kind of nice. It's a bitch and a half to run. I don't really recommend it, especially, you know, especially for beginning keepers, because it is a bit of a mess trying to understand it in that sense. You know, but the first events on Saxonburg Island, very straightforward, right? You show up, it's a base, you explore it, you know, you find some information, you fight a creature, and you're off and running. You know, then you fly to the Jeremiah, the events on the Jeremiah, okay, that's all kind of very straightforward. The attack on Richter Station is where things start to, is where, you know, kind of everything starts to splinter, and there is no coherent narrative in the scenario. It's all what the players want to do.
So it becomes a sandbox there.
Right. You know, so mm-hmm. you can do the commando raid on Richter Station as you guys did. You know, you could do all of the other things. You know, if you really wanted to play it out, you know, you could generate a bunch of different kinds of characters and do, you know, you could be on the all subs the and do that. You could be in the planes and do that. You could be part of the main ground assault and do that. You could stay back on the Jeremiah and, you know, whatever happens there. Yeah, but then once you find Richter Station, you know, you win that battle, you know, however you want to run it. And then, you know, now you have kind of all of Antarctica open up to you. Where do you want to go? You know, the big places being, you know, Point 19, which technically you're not supposed to be able to walk to, but I wanted to make it easier to get for you guys to get there, because I didn't think that you would be too thrilled about commandeering a submarine and trying to sail there.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, and, you know, then there's the, you know, getting to Lufoff Antarctica and the assault there, you know, and to the Spire. You know, you can do as much or as little of those as you want to, you know, kind of whatever the players are, wherever they're headed, whichever direction they're going. You know, you could bypass Point 19 altogether, you know, do Luftwaffe Antarctica, make it to the Spire, get into the tunnels and go from there. You know, you could get to Point 19, get into the tunnels and go straight to the city from there, like poor Lieutenant Popov did.
Sorry.
Wow, that was loud.
Gaz is awesome.
The
coming.
End of the world.
Yeah. And
that is a motorcycle.
Wow. So,
and then of course,
a major. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then of course, once you're in the city, you know, then you're just kind of free to explore, and eventually, at some point, hopefully, you figure it. You know, hopefully, you kind of get some idea of where to go and what to do, which you guys certainly got one and went and did.
So, with it being so sandboxy, was there a major locale or set piece or event or something that we bypassed?
A major one? No. Nope.
Okay. We hit all the major points?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a number of points that didn't that didn't get hit. There are, you know, as kind of was pointed out, there are more doors that you could have gone through, and, you know, other things to see behind those doors. You know, but I just kind of short-circuited that because that would have just been boring to just do more doors and, you know, let's just get to the conclusion.
Were some of them just traps? Like, was that water room that put them at the bottom of the ocean, was that just a trap?
No, actually, that was the let's call it the escape pod for the Elder Things. Yeah, that stone basically teleported everyone in the room to another Elder Thing city deep under the sea.
Oh, great! Awesome. Yeah. That actually makes a lot more sense now.
The other thing
your eyes saw before they got sucked into your head.
Yep. The other thing that I intentionally skipped a lot of these is as you're making your way through the tunnels to the Elder City, you know, there's a whole kind of big chart that's basically a bunch of random encounters. Some of which are interesting and some of which, like a good half of which, I thought were just kind of stupid because they're all just physical obstacles. You know, oh, there's a big wall. Now you have to climb it and make some climb rolls or fall to your death. Or, you know, there's a big chasm and you have to figure out how to cross it or fall to your death. Or, you know.
More like dungeon crawly.
Yeah, I'm just like, so I just kind of intentionally picked out the ones that I thought were more interesting.
Oh, and
just kind of arranged them into
in a sequence. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was or terrible. The group with the flashlight.
Yep.
Yeah, the tortured elder thing was, yeah.
Yep, but other than that, you guys saw and did everything.
I just
of
thought of
interest.
Something.
Yeah.
Miss Amata Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
How significant is she to the plot?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. She half of what she told you was true. The fact that she got lost in the tunnels.
Mm. Gotcha.
Yeah, but clearly she was. But obviously, as Professor Atwood found out to his dismay, yeah, she was never an Allied spy. She was a German soldier. You know, a low-level officer.
As everyone but poor Lonnie Schrock quickly realized.
Yep, who just became lost in the tunnels. Then you guys stumbled on her, and she saw her chance. So,
mm-hmm.
That was now, cool. Jim, was there ever a chance that we could have killed Hitler using the Black Stone?
yeah, I would have let you guys kill Hitler if.
Oh, damn it!
If you had actually made some better roles at the time.
Poor Jensen, he tried hard.
Oh man, Douglas tried hard too.
I mean, fundamentally, that's what the Germans were trying. That's what the Germans were trying to use it for. You know, the same sort of thing, right? To carry out assassinations and espionage and that sort of thing. They were trying to figure out how to use it reliably to do that. And
now, the part that I never understood is the other things helping us that didn't actually help us.
Yeah, so the elder things are in kind of a pinch here, right? Because they, you know, the Germans have moved in. They're doing all this stuff. The elder things know, you know, what the Germans
these guys
are up to.
The worst neighbors ever.
You know, and don't want it to happen. You know, but at the same time, aren't, you know, terribly enthused about getting involved directly themselves. So there, you know, there are options presented in the campaign, kind of depending on how you want to run it. You know, for, you know, you could never get any help from the Elder Things. You know, you could get a little bit of obscure guidance that you probably don't understand, like you guys did. You know, all the way up to, you know, an entire squadron of Elder Things arrives right at the end and helps you kick some ass, you know.
Well, that was never in the gym cards. Like, oh, so cute. put in there for the elder things to help. That'll never happen.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a good mix between investigation and fighting for Octone. I thought it was pretty... I think this is more heavy combat than any of the other ones we've played.
It is a huge dungeon crawl, right? The whole campaign, that's what it is. Since the very beginning, remember when we assault that base with the submarines, right?
Right.
That's what it was. But it's good. I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, that's why it's... Well, obviously, you made the right choice, but yeah, I agree that it's kind of putting those things like you fall to your death if you can't make a climb roll, you know, it's like, come on, these things are eating us up, you know, it's we're going through enough characters already.
Yeah.
That's a little bit overkill.
Yeah, I think we commented on it at the time, you know, the battle at Richter Station and the battle at Luftwaffe Antarctica. You know, the campaign provides you with, you know, enough information and some options. You know, you can run those kind of however you want to, you know, as just, you know, a mass of hundreds of characters in a big dex order combat and lots of dice rolling and that sort of thing. Or, you know, you could even, if you wanted to, you know, and you had enough miniatures in a big table, you know, break out your copy of Cthulhu Tactics and, you know, do it that way. And, you know, I just kind of said, no, this is not what we're here for. Summarize. Okay, you win.
Cool.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Oh, Fuchs.
Mm-hmm.
Before we close the book forever. I know we heard his name earlier, but I don't remember why. Like, is he literally supposed to be the head of the whole Black Sun operation here?
Yes.
Okay. So...
Not the head of the whole Black Sun, but the head of the Black Sun operation here, yes.
The operation here. Would he have been helpful if we had found Greek earlier? Like what? In what ways would he have been helpful? Is he some kind of crazy blue crystal wizard guy, or is he just...
No, he's just a... I mean, he's a high-ranking officer. He's in command of all the soldiers here. But he has no particular, you know, mystical or mythos or whatever you want to call it, abilities himself.
Right.
Yeah, because he didn't know that things had already gone off the rails. I mean, he was like, oh, you got to help me with her.
Right.
When, in fact, everything was said and done at
that
point.
Pretty much over.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, how many crazy mythos officers were there, Jim, in the scenario? Because we only really encountered the one?
Three.
No. Yeah, we got, let me see, the guy who saw Randall from afar.
Two.
To begin with.
Two, right. There was the chick with the eyeball, and then there was the guy at Richter Station.
And then three, Grease herself.
Oh, okay. All right. So where would we have needed to go to defeat her? Or is there's not really an option to just, like, confront her just to basically protect the station and then she would come to destroy it?
Yeah, if you wanted to go confront her, the other, let's say, winning option besides, you know, protecting the focus room, you know, just camping out there and trying to defend the city, or, you know, kick the Germans out of the city or do something like that. The other option, and where you could have, you know, confronted her and probably still gotten some help from Fuchs and, you know, fought her and some of the other, you know, some of the low-level Black Sun mystics maybe that she has kicking around, you guys bypassed altogether, and that was the German camp on the second island.
Oh!
So if we had went up one more island, we could have ended it there.
Instead of climbing across the bottom of it, yeah.
Oh. Hmm.
I guess we never did see a car go all the way up, did we? Huh.
I don't remember one.
Yeah, we just maybe assumed they were going all the way to the top.
Maybe we failed to ask, or failed those roles, so we have been failing the whole campaign.
Well, I think we can all agree on one thing. We failed.
Yeah. Yes. Did we ask about those, sorry, we're getting a lot of information now, but the room with all the bas-reliefs, you just said that would not have told us how to solve things, but did that have a significant story in it?
If you study it for a few hours, you can get a few points of Elder Thing lore.
No, that's it.
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
All interesting. Right. This is the campaign where I have lost the most amount of characters since I have been playing. Like five characters.
Sorry, were you saying that the one way of getting over this would have been go to another island, one of the floating islands?
Yeah, the one that you bypassed. Yeah, the second one, the big one with the German base on it.
Uh-huh.
That you guys, first of all, very smartly said, no, we're not just going to ride the cable car up to it, because they'll see us coming. You know, and then you went through the whole crystal field and got lost and got found and climbed up the ice waterfall and then got on the other side of it and then said, nope, we're just going to bypass this whole thing walk around it, get in the cable car, and leave. Yes. Had you actually investigated that island and, you know, tried to sneak into the bases or sneak into the base there, you know, or heck, even gone in guns blazing, might not be the best idea, but, you know, then yeah, you could have provoked the confrontation with Greece, and who knows what happens from there. But
is that essentially high command for Black Sun up there with Greece and Fuchs and anybody that matters?
The operation here in Antarctica, yeah. Yep. And kind of, I mean, the other option around kind of all that as well, that, you know, I guess, you know, another way to, or at least possibly assist with, you know, either the defense of the focal room or, you know, assaulting the base there on the second island, and you guys touched on it, was you very easily could have recruited some local, or maybe not local, but you could have recruited some Noctwolf allies as well.
We didn't see any Noctwolf in the city, though.
Nope.
Right?
No.
So I guess that's a question, too. At what point does the Noctwolf break with Black Sun? Because we've seen destruction, but like the tower, for instance, the spire, you know, that was exploded from the inside, and we saw the evidence of like a plane had been flown into that one tower here at the airfield at the city.
Well, the explosion of the tower was millions of years ago. That's an ancient thing.
Oh,
The Elder Things had some problems and it blew up. But yeah, it's been, you know, recently, like within the past couple months, once the Noctwolf realize what the Black Sun is actually here to do, not even what Greece is here to do, but what the kind of official frontline Black Sun purpose is, and that, you know, they are not, you know, the Noctwolf is loyal to Germany and Hitler, whereas the Black Sun clearly is not. So the Black Sun, that's why the Noctwolf was trying to, and, you know, could have been motivated to fight against the Black Sun. But yeah, that would have been another way to go in the campaign. You know, I certainly could have had some Noctwolf floating around, or had a, you know, platoon of Noctwolf suddenly show up and offer you their assistance or things like that. But, you know, the way you guys had been playing it was, you know, you were pretty suspicious of everyone that you came across. I mean, you killed the poor, you know, the poor innocent, you know, German infantryman who was lost in the tunnels. So I figured,
yeah, everybody,
I figured there was
that
no point
woman.
In that.
Yeah, the one person we should have been suspicious of, we were like, oh yeah,
yeah.
Huh. Well, is there anything else, Jim, that you were like, oh, I wish they had done that?
No, I don't think so. Kind of would have been interesting if Professor Atwood would have actually gouged his eye out. And
I can't pass my sanity rolls. I basically decided that the next time I failed a sanity roll, I was going to do it. Because I was down like 31 or so. I was like, oh, it's coming. It's coming. And then I kept rolling up. The moment where you gave me a spot hidden roll to see if I was going to see the bullet coming at me.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. That was super long.
That was a good time.
How many months did we spend on that?
Well, it's 25 episodes, so
someone that's in the notes.
6 months.
So let's see. First October 23rd, 2017.
Nice.
Started. Yep.
And Randall's up next for a long one.
Yes.
Yeah, Randall, thanks for that pre-gen.
thanks for sending the characters over the weekend.
I will send them tonight so you can have 1 week to work on
them. I
will not be here next Monday, though.
Yeah. Next Monday? Oh, yeah. Okay. So this Sunday.
Well, I won't be here Sunday either.
So I guess we're skipping Sunday because no one responded to run a one-shot. There's a one-shot that I would love to run at some point, but I'm not going to run it on Sundays. So we'll see when it's going to happen.
Yeah, it would be nice to take a break on Sunday.
Yeah, that's fine. All right.
I can sleep in for one day.
There you go. Yeah, I'll just be gone for the 1 weekend, and I'll be back the week following. So
do you want to take next Monday off as well then? I'm asking the collective group.
That's a good question.
Who else do we have for Eternal Lives? Because I think Matt said he's out because of
Matt and Edwin.
And Edwin's out.
Yep. So they're back for Eternal Lives, but they're not back next Monday. They're back the following week.
Right. Yeah. So let's skip next Monday. Yes. I will send the story for each one of your characters tonight so you can have them. Basically, what I would like you to do, guys, is to create your own character for Pulp. And, you know, as however you like, based on the description of the character, and that's it. We'll roll.
Oh, okay. Pulp?
Yeah. Is that rough?
Yeah.
I think it was really meant to be more pulpy of a campaign, from what I've heard. They just didn't have pulp rules because, you know, they had been promised pulp rules for like 6 years already or something like that.
Yeah, you have the two options. You can run it, if I'm not mistaken, because I run the pre-release version. You have the option to run it, you know, as standard or pulp. But I would rather run it with pulp because when we run it with standard in the playtesting, it was pretty harsh on the players, you know, just like this one now, dying every few sessions and so forth. It's very brutal. So we'll see.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll look forward to getting that character, Randall.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully today. I'll start with you, Max.
All right, guys.
Well, cool, guys.
That was super fun.
Yes. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
thanks.
Y'all have a good week, or 2 weeks, actually, and we'll talk later.
Have fun in Canada, eh?
Yep.
Hey, you hear how Canada got its name, right? They put all the letters of the alphabet in a hat, and they started picking out letters, and they started with C, A, and then N, A, and then D, A. Oh, it's a good name, Canada, eh?
I've heard that one.
I unfortunately have not.
Well, now you can say you have. Congratulations, Sean.
Yay. All right, guys. We'll see some of you in 2 weeks. Some of you in a week.
Take care, guys.
All right, guys. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.